Well, good morning. So we are starting a new series today called Functional Faith. And it's based off this sort of allegory or metaphor for functional fitness. And I could tell you about functional fitness, or I could let my friend Kevin Driscoll, who is far more an expert than I, tell you about it. So good morning. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Welcome. I'm glad to be here. So functional fitness. Actually, it's functional training, so I'm going to correct you there.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm the boss, so I get to say.
That is true. That is true. Functional training. Why functional training? Well, how many of us in here are professional athletes? Can I get a raise of hands? Not too many of us. Maybe a sneak one in, but how many of us are training to have a quality life, whether that's playing with your kids, being able to bring groceries in from your car, just making life kind of easier? How many of us want to do that?
Right, that's all of us.
I hope so. So functional training is training to make life outside the gym easier. It's making sure we have a good quality of life so we can do things like playing with our kids or whatever that may be.
So you would say that functional training or functional fitness, tomato, tomato, is it keeps us healthy and able to do life well, but also keeps us from getting injured in the different areas of life.
Exactly. It's basically training to, I don't want to say injury prevention, because if I could prevent injuries, I'd be a millionaire, but it's just making sure we're safe and doing everything in a good manner.
So what's like an example of something someone can do functionally?
Yeah, so grabbing this kettlebell, one of the exercises we do is a deadlift. So we reach up down, hinging, grab the kettlebell, and you stand on up with it. What this can mimic is playing with your kid, reach it down, pick up your kid, and play, or hold them, not it, hold them.
Doesn't have any kids, so they're it still.
But yeah, that's kind of the idea behind it.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much, Kevin, for being here, and thank you for helping explain that for us all.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
So the idea behind functional fitness or training is it's fitness or training that works in the real world. It makes you stronger. It makes you able to function and be stronger and healthier in the way that we actually move and actually function. In that the average bodybuilder, weightlifter does things in the gym that don't actually make you real world healthier or stronger. That's the metaphor we want to use for this series of functional faith. Are there things in the Bible, are there lessons we can learn that are how we actually practically function, how it can make us stronger Monday through Saturday, not just a Sunday faith? That's what this series is. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, because Philippians chapter 4 is this very practical, very functional aspect or section of the Bible. Before we can go to Philippians 4, however, we have to look at what comes before Philippians 4 and Philippians 3. You see, Philippians 3 is the book of Philippians is this book written by this guy named Paul to this church at Philippi. And the church at Philippi was this church that he was trying to encourage and strengthen. It was probably one of the healthiest churches he had started. And the book of Philippians, his goal was to encourage and strengthen them and make them functionally a stronger community. And one of the things he does in chapter 3 is he goes through and he talks about the gospel in philosophical terms, not dissimilar to terms we maybe used in the last series called The Best Is Yet to Come. That was maybe a bit more of a theological or philosophical series. And so a lot of the things that he says in Philippians 3 might sound similar to something we would have talked about last series. He says in Philippians 3, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Later on, he says, yes, everything else in life is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And so he goes in Philippians 3, and he's explaining in different ways and showing people, okay, this is what life with Jesus is like. This is how you can understand it. This is the values behind it. This is how you can understand theologically, philosophically, life with Jesus. And then the first verse of Philippians 4:1 says this, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. And he goes on, but he starts with this word, therefore. And I've probably heard me say this before, that when there's the word therefore in the Bible, whatever comes before the therefore is there for whatever comes after. And so for this series, we are here for the therefore. Like the chapter 3, it goes in philosophically, theologically, explains what Jesus did for all of us. And then chapter 4, it says, all right, now that we know this, now that we understand what Jesus came to accomplish, chapter 4 is how do we apply that to our lives? How do we use this sort of theological knowledge so that we can live better, so that we can live stronger, so that we can have a functional faith? And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to unpack Philippians chapter 4, and hopefully it'll encourage us Monday through Saturday, not just a Sunday faith. It's practical, it's daily, it's real life, it's functional. So today we're going to be in Philippians 4, chapter 4 through 5, and you're going to see that here on the screen. It says this, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. And so the first phrase of this, it's just the first phrase says this. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. This is one of those passages of the Bible that right off the bat, it seems unreasonable, right? Always be full of joy. And let me start by saying this way. Who here born and raised your entire life in New England? Where are my New Englanders at? My born and raised New Englanders. All right. So does this, you, the people who were, you know, born and raised entire life in New England, does this first phrase, just help me out. Does this seem like it's in alignment with a New Englander ethos to you? No. So help me out. I wasn't born in New England. I've been in New England now for over 10 years, so I feel like I'm an adopted son, but I don't want to say things that you guys wouldn't say are true. So how would you guys describe, you know, New Englanders? Distant. Tough. Skeptical. Awesome. Okay, awesome. There's one in every room. Just kidding. How about anybody else? Smart. Smart. What's that? Tired of the West Coast, yeah? Like, exactly. And, you know, like, New Englanders are tough. Like, we can withstand cold. And last winter, it was so warm. But that was a trick, right? Winter was tricking us. Because then it, like, started dumping snow relentlessly onto us. And we're like, come at me, bro. Like, we got this. We're New Englanders, right? Like, and so when you think about the nature, and let's be honest. A verse like this one, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Is there an area of the country that this sounds more like? Hawaii? Yeah, okay. The South? Like, I'm thinking like the South, right? Like, you know, you see people from the South and they're always polite and they're always so happy. And what happens, like, let's say you walk into your office Monday morning and someone's like, good morning, how are you? What are you like? Joan? We've talked about this. Mornings are for coffee and contemplation. Take it down a little bit. Right? You're like, oh my goodness. Like, here in New England, we don't do fake happy. You know what this feels like to me? Like the verse like this one, like always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. To me, it feels like Buddy the Elf. Here, check this out.
Wow. What's this?
This is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
He's like, why are you smiling like that? Says every New Englander ever. And he's like, smiling's my favorite. Right? This is what I feel like Paul is talking about. He's like, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. So your kid's being a jerk, smiling's my favorite, right? You got a parking ticket, smiling's my favorite. Life completely stinks, smiling is my favorite, right? It seems so inauthentic. It seems so anti-us, let's be honest. It seems like he's asking you to be fake happy. Always be full of joy. I say it again, rejoice. But you can't really understand that little phrase until you keep going in the passage and you read that next passage. And the next little phrase in this passage is this one. It says this, let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. And the word considerate there, like it's this word that it doesn't really feel like a strong word. It feels like, you know, be soft or be kind or be thoughtful. And it doesn't even make sense at first glance. Like, why does that come after the first thing? Like, it doesn't really help you at first glance understand, like, why he says that we can be happy and joyful all the time. And the word considerate there in different translations of the Bible appears differently. In other translations, it says gentle, or let everyone see that you have a gentle spirit, or let everyone see that you have a softness. Which, by the way, as a man, like, let everyone see that you're soft? No thank you, Paul. Let everyone see your forbearance. Actually, the word there that he's using in Greek is this word epieikia. And the word epieikia means fitting or a true equity or a sweet equity, which says, let everyone see that you live your life marked by a justice beyond justice. A great example of epieikia is if you had a teacher and the teacher has two students in her classroom and student A gets a 90 because they got 90% of their questions right. But student B got a failing grade. But the teacher of this classroom knows that there's something going on in the student's life. Like maybe the student's parents are getting a divorce. Or maybe the student has come from a home that doesn't have the money to provide, you know, the type of things they need to thrive. Or maybe the student just lost someone they loved. And so if this student earns a 50, but the teacher gives them a passing grade anyway, no one would have a problem with that. So there's justice. Justice would say this person earned a 90, this person earned a 50, they get a 90 and a 50. But epieikia, a justice beyond justice, a sweet equity, and equity means everyone having what they need, says this person gets a 90, but this person gets to pass because they did their absolute best and there's something else going on. It's not just what happened, it's the why behind the what. It's the justice beyond justice. And so what it says is, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you live life marked by a justice beyond justice in all that you do. Aristotle, the philosopher, was a contemporary of this word. He was around probably 300 years before this verse was penned. And he says of epieikia, someone who lives life marked by epieikia is one who by choice and habit does what is equitable and fair, and who does not stand on his own rights unduly, but is content to receive a smaller share, although he has the law on his sides. He says sometimes that the law is very, very specific, and the law is very, very universal, but sometimes the law, like the law of a land, isn't applicable to every situation. Like there might be a justice beyond justice. But what he's saying here is not like a nation or a law. He's saying each individual person. Like what would it look like if you lived life marked by epieikia? What would it look like if you lived with this sort of sense of equity? We talk about equality in our culture, in our life. Equality is everyone having the exact same, and everyone having fair, and everyone having the same thing. And I feel like equality is a low bar. Because yes, okay, everyone has fair. That's like the lowest common denominator. Everyone should have equality. But equity is everyone having what they need. So it's this picture of these three, you know, gentlemen, and they all have the same, but someone doesn't have what they need. But in the second picture, everyone has what they need. This is equity. It's a sweet equity. It is justice beyond justice. Jesus, at one point, he was in a town, and this mob brought this woman to him, this woman caught in adultery. And this woman caught in adultery, and they're like, let's throw rocks at her until she is dead. There's this very sort of like justice-minded thing, because at that point in their culture, that was like the penalty. If you were caught in adultery, then you were stoned. And they threw rocks at you in this very sort of violent and brutal way. They wanted to kill this woman. And the just thing would have him to say, you know what, honestly, that's justice. Let's go ahead. Let's do that. But in that moment, he didn't choose justice. He chose a justice beyond justice. He said, all right, you can throw the stones at her. You can judge her. You can look down at her as if you're better than her. But he who has never sinned, who has never done wrong, who has never done anything shameful, you cast the first stone. And then once that person casts the stone, then you can all throw stones at this person. And everyone dropped their rocks, and they walked away. Because Jesus walked with this epieikia, this justice beyond justice. Now, when you begin to talk about these things, like, you know what happens is people, they get, like, itchy, they break out in hives because they think, like, they're like, man, this kind of, this everyone having what they need thing, it kind of sounds like Bernie, you know, and I don't like that guy, you know? Or maybe they're like, oh, it kind of sounds like Bernie, and I like that guy, you know? It kind of, like, divides the room into, like, people, like, this, And honestly, like this concept, this way of living, this epiaikia, this moving beyond just justice and fairness, this not always claiming everything you're entitled to for the betterment of someone else, like it's not a political thing at all. It's a personal thing. Actually, Paul, he says, let everyone see that you live this way. And it's you. It's actually a plural you. It's you all. It's we don't have a word for plural you, but the South does. It's y'all. And so he says, let everyone see that y'all live with this epiaikia. So it's not this political thing at all. It's like, let everyone see that you live with your life marked by this justice beyond justice. That you don't necessarily always fight for every little scrap and every little inch, but there is a sweet equity that you live with. But it's also this you all. So it's like, let all of us collectively, as Harbor of Hope, as a community of faith, let people, when they think of us as people who live not just with justice, but with a justice beyond justice, with this sweet equity in mind. And so if you lived your life with this epiaikia, like what would this look like? Like practically, what would it look like? If you lived with a justice beyond justice. So I am married. My lovely wife is over here. Hello, lovely wife. And many of us are married, you know, and some of us who are not married, but maybe you're dating someone. Like, epiaikia in relationships is vitally important to a healthy relationship. Because in every relationship, what you have is you have two people, and maybe at certain points in the marriage or the relationship, they're both giving 50%, and so the relationship is 100% healthy. But then what happens if this person gives 50, and this person, maybe they give 40%, maybe they're sick, or they're tired, or they've forgotten about that 10% responsibility, or whatever. And so this person gives 50, and this person gives 40, or 35, and there's a gap there. And so what happens is this person is like, no, like I give 50, you have to give 50, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to remember this gap at all times, and I'm never going to let you forget it, because there is this, because I'm going to fight for this gap that's been created. I'm giving 50, and you're giving 35, so it's not fair. Epiaikia says, I don't have to give 50 and you give 50. I'm going to give 100% all the time. And if you get sick, if you get tired, if you are not feeling well, it's okay. The relationship still has 100% because I'm going to give 100%. Like, I'm not going to keep tally of every little wrong, of every little word. Like, I'm going to choose to live graciously with this person. I'm not going to fight for my right in every little situation. I'm going to live with a justice beyond justice. I'm not going to always keep a tally of, well, you said this and that was unkind, or you made this promise and you didn't keep that promise, so I'm going to remember this forever. Epiaikia is not just what's happening, but looking at the why of the what. You know, if my significant other is sick, or they're tired, or they've been working very, very hard, or they just plain forgot something or whatever. Like epiaikia says, I'm not going to fight for my rights. I'm going to be gracious with the person. I'm not going to just look at the what, but the why. All of us in our works, all of us at work have, I'm not all of us, most of us have people at work who that person like consistently gets under your skin. Right? Who has that person at your work, at your office, that person is constantly getting on your nerves? Come on, that's it. There's like three people. Okay, let's be honest. Let's just be honest. All right, there's like three hands, one of them being John's. Not John, not funny. On the count of three, whatever that person's name is, let's just yell it out together. It'll be cathartic. We all know that we all have that person that gets on our nerves. So our person at work that irritates us, on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. John. Okay, good. You have no idea what it's like to work with him. Diva. I'm just kidding. Right. So that person at your work, right, whatever it is, you know, I don't know what it is at your work or where you work or why it is that person irritates you or they get under your nerves, but what happens is you go and you work with this person and you come home, if you live with someone, you know, and you come home and you're like, you will not believe what Joan did again. I've talked to Joan 17 times, but she did it again. I cannot believe Joan. I don't want to get arrested, but I really want to punch Joan in the face. Like, I just, what is her deal? Like, why can't she see what she's doing? It's so unreasonable. Like, it's like she doesn't even see that I'm a human. That matters. Joan. There aren't any Jones here, are there? Okay, good. Whew. I did that one time, and there was someone like, hey, I'm Joan. That's not funny. Right? But we're at work, and these things happen, and people get on our nerves, and we can either, see what happens that moment is if we allow that person, if we focus so fully on the injustice, on the unfair thing that's happened, is we become as a person defined not by our faith or who we are or that we're loving or that we're epi-ikea, but we come like for this moment, for this fleeting moment, we're defined almost solely by this injustice and the way that we're angry and we're holding on to it. We let that person have the power over us. And this is where you begin to see how the joy and the epi-ikea come into play. Because it says, always be joyful. And in your relationships, operate with a justice beyond justice. So when that person at your office, when your significant other is not acting the way that you expect them to, don't let that person steal your joy. Treat them with epi-ikea. Not just on what's happening, but on the whys behind the what. And in that moment, when you see not just like the flaw or the frustration or the hurt, but you see the why behind the what, you begin to see this person, you operate with them with this sweet equity, with a justice beyond justice. They lose their power over you. They don't steal your joy. They don't get in between who God has called you to be and you. You can live joyfully, and you take your power back from that situation. This is why it says, always be full of joy. Live life joyfully. Let everyone see that your life is marked by epi-ikea, because someone who lives their life marked by this justice beyond justice, other people don't get to steal their joy. And this comes full circle when you see the last phrase of this verse. It says this, remember the Lord is coming soon. So he says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. And remember that the Lord is coming soon. And this is like the spoiler alert and all spoiler alerts. Because this is, if you're a person who lives life marked by Jesus, then this is the end of your story. Like, it doesn't matter what happens here, no matter what frustrations, doesn't matter what Joan at the office does, right? Whatever these things are, whatever these injustices are, like, the end of your story is living life eternally with Jesus. And then with that in play, with that sort of like in the background, how much does it make these other things fall away to nothing? Like, it makes these things pale in comparison. It makes the frustrations. It makes the moment when your significant other is going 30 and you're going 50. It makes the frustrating people at your office. The other day, I was sitting at a green light, at a red light, and I was the third car in line. And there was a car and another car, and then there was me. And it turned green, and the first car moved, and the second car was looking at themselves in their flip-down mirror, and they did not notice that the light had gone green. And then the light turned yellow, and they were still looking at themselves. And I didn't land my horn or anything. I just went like a little beep, you know, just a little, hey, it's turning yellow. Beep, get going, you know. And they rolled their window down and told me I was number one, you know. And I was like, thank you. I'm number one in your eyes. I appreciate that. That is so kind of you. In that moment, though, like, I was tempted to be like, I was like, angry at this person, and like when it turns green, like gun it next to him, and, you know, you're number one too, you know? But the truth, the why behind the what is that person lives with that person every day. That person gets to make that person miserable all the time. I mean, they inconvenienced a whole line of people, and their response was to tell me I'm number one, right? Like, but the justice beyond the justice is to not gun it next to that person, to not hold that grudge, to not let that moment steal your joy, to not let that define you, to not, like, you know, drive with the same manner that person drove in context of you. Like, it's to live with this grace, this love, this epi-ikea, this justice beyond justice, this fitting manner, this considerate manner. And when you live this way, you don't let someone take your joy. You don't let someone come between you and who God has made you to be. But you live with this epi-ikea. You live with this life defined not by that person or what that person is or is not doing that you're expecting them to. But you live with this in mind. You remember that the Lord is coming soon. So this is translated this way. But probably a better translation would be that it says the Lord is near. Which is always the case. In that moment when you feel like allowing someone to steal your joy, in that moment when you feel like keeping that grudge, when keeping a tally with that person, of not looking at the why, but only the what. When you look at that, when you attempted to not live in this epi-ikea way, remember that the Lord is near, that the end of your story is already set in stone, and it makes these other things pale in comparison. This is why I call this series Functional Faith, because the goal of this is to make us stronger, not just on Sunday while we're here, but Monday through Saturday. And I hope for the next few weeks you'll come along with us. Let me close in prayer. God, I'm so thankful for this passage. And I'm thankful for the way that you take this gospel, this sort of like philosophical thing, the way that you have paid the price for us and that you love us and that you accept us and you are gracious with us, and that how that can, it's not just a Sunday thing or it's not just a spiritual part of our life thing, but it's an everyday thing. And even with our frustrating relationships at home or frustrating relationships at work or frustrating relationships while driving, like the gospel even speaks into those things. And so God, what I ask about for today is that you help us be people individually and collectively as a community whose lives are marked by epi-ikeia. But beyond this, God, I ask that during this series, what we walk in and what we grow in is the knowledge that your gospel, the work that you have done, it impacts and it filters its way down into every relationship, every aspect of who we are. That we begin to see our lives not as this sort of like bifurcated Sunday and the rest of the time thing, but that our Sunday life impacts every aspect of our lives. So God, I ask not just for today, but for the next month, that you give us, that you help us grow in this functional faith, that we are stronger, not just on Sunday, but every day, and not just in church moments, but in every moment of our lives. So we love you and we thank you. In your name, amen. Before we go on, I just want to say that one beautiful way to have a life marked by epi-ikeia is what it's on my shirt. It's this love lull. Like when you come alongside someone who is poor or is marginalized, it's this great way of looking not just at the what in this person's life, but at the why. When you look at the why, you come alongside and you serve someone who can never serve you back. It's this beautiful justice beyond justice. And so I just want to encourage you again to take part in that. Thank you so much.